Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you are well. I've been giving a lot of thought to this hysterical market we are in right now. The mania, all of the emotion, the FOMO, fear of missing out, the YOLO, you only live once. This whole type of attitude and how it's contributing to these, what I would consider massive bubbles in crypto, NFTs, the meme stops. I mean, it's all just a one big giant bubble of mania and hysteria. But how did we get here? That's really the question. And I think maybe a different question that we can talk about in a separate video is, where does this take us long term? I was just at Mark Moss's event speaking over the weekend, Market Disruptors. And so many people there have made a lot of money in Bitcoin, most specifically. And my hat's off to them. I mean, that's fantastic. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be richer in the future. And I would say the same for gold investors. You know, gold investors think that if gold goes to 50,000 an ounce, then all of a sudden they're rich. Maybe, maybe not. It depends. How many goods and services do you have access to? See? Doesn't matter what the price of your Bitcoin or the price of your gold or your silver, for that matter. I'll just go ahead and throw everyone under the bus. But the reason you have that, the reason why you think you're richer, is because you think it gives you the ability to buy more stuff. But if there's no stuff to buy, you're not richer, regardless of the nominal price of this asset you own. So, but that's kind of a separate video. What I want to dive into is, I want to go back in time in this video and try to explore how we got to where we are today, where there's a bubble in basically everything, and we're creating new quote unquote asset classes every single day just to expand the bubble even bigger. I mean, now this new truck company with EVs is what, the third largest, Josh is telling me, car company on the planet Earth, but yet they've never produced a truck. They haven't sold one truck, and yet somehow they are the third largest car manufacturer. And it really gets bizarre when you think, okay, well, what if Ford came out and said they were producing an electronic truck, which they are? Why would their share price not go up that high? Basically, you could take the exact same product and instead of put a GM or Ford label, just put a new fancy label on it. And it, for some reason, the value of that stock is 10 times greater, even though they have none of the infrastructure. They don't even have a factory. This is the world we're living in. So let's get into a chart that I think tells the whole story. Oh, good. Great. We can expand it. So this is simply a thought experiment. This is on Investopedia, where they take $1 and they compound it at different rates of inflation to determine what or how many dollars you would need to have in the future to have the exact same purchasing power you started with. Makes a lot of sense. So if we started with $1 and that bought you this much stuff at a 5.2% rate of inflation over 10 years, you would need to have $1.66 in order to buy that much stuff. And you say, well, that doesn't seem like a lot. Well, yeah, but that's a massive increase. That's a 66% increase in what you would have in the dollars you would have to have. So let's just say in that 10 years that you don't get a 66% raise, which you most likely wouldn't. Well, how can you make up the difference? You would have to invest the money you saved. So you'd have to produce more than you consume. You'd have to invest the difference, but you couldn't just put it in the bank. You would have to take a significant amount of risk in order for your excess dollars or your excess productivity, better way of saying it, to actually keep up with the rate of inflation or to maintain its purchasing power. Okay, but let's take it a step further. What if you want to actually exceed or increase your purchasing power? Or what if the rate of inflation is actually higher than 5.2%, which most of you on this live stream right now, I think, would say that currently the rate of inflation, the price increases of the stuff that you buy daily is going up at a much higher annual rate than 8.3%. But let's just assume that it's that for a moment. 10 years, that dollar would have to go to $2.22. As you can tell, that's over a 100% increase you would have just to maintain your purchasing power. Well, I'm no mathematician, and I didn't do the math in advance, but right off the top of my head, I would guess that's probably about a 7% return that you would need to have in order to achieve that, a real rate of return. See? So you'd need to, a nominal rate of return. You'd have to have at least a 7% nominal rate of return in compounded over 10 years to get $2.22, maybe a little bit higher, maybe 8%, something like that. So you start with a dollar, you got to get an 8% compounded return over 10 years just to maintain your purchasing power. Well, here's where it starts to get interesting. Let's just say for a moment that the rate of inflation is actually closer to 11% or 11.5%. And let's just say that you've got to maintain your purchasing power for 30 years. So just from 2000 to 2030, that dollar you had in the year 2000, in the year 2030, would need to be increased to $26.20. Well, how on earth are you going to do that? Well, most likely, especially if you're not saving that much, especially if you're having years where you're not getting a significant return. Well, the only way that you're going to be able to do that realistically is by going further and further out the risk curve, taking more and more and more risk. And I don't know that people are consciously aware of this, but I think subconsciously they are. This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for. In my opinion, this is why you see this mania in cryptocurrencies and NFTs, meme stocks, EVs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because people know that first and foremost, if they keep their excess productivity, i.e. dollars, in a bank, that they're going to be losing a massive amount of purchasing power. I think the average Joe and Jane actually know that consciously. But I think that the investments they have had in the stock market and maybe their home, now they're getting to a point where they're like, wait a minute, if I'm getting a 7 or 8% return in the stock market, that's not going to keep up with the rate of inflation. So what do I do? And then what if I want to actually increase my purchasing power? I can't do it in stocks. I can't do it in housing. Can't do it in bonds. What's left? Well, I'll go into crypto. Let's buy Shiba Inu and hope that it goes up by 1,000% in the next 5 minutes. Or let's buy an NFT of some sort of monkey that's just sitting there smoking a cigar. Well, that's definitely, if I buy it for $12 million today, I mean, it'll definitely be worth $50 million tomorrow. There's no additional productivity. There's no additional goods or services. There's no additional stuff being created in this environment, in this equation. And you take all of that energy that you would have applied to creating goods and services, and now you allocate that mental bandwidth trying to figure out the next Shiba Inu or the next NFT or the next meme stock that's going to explode. You see, in my opinion, because people have a need, and whether it's conscious or subconscious, to maintain and try to increase their purchasing power, to get richer, to get wealthier, and because the Fed, by keeping interest rates artificially low, and the central planners by coming in and distorting the economy with regulations, government deficit spending, and things such as mandates, creating a massive labor shortage, you put all these things together, and this is what you get. You get the average Joe and Jane being forced further and further and further and further out the risk curve. Unfortunately, I can tell you how this movie ends. And it's a game of musical chairs. When that music stops, someone is going to be holding the bag. And 99% of the time, if you look at history, that someone is the poor and middle class, the average Joe and Jane, the retail investor. They're doing very well right now, but they were doing very well in 1998 and 1999. They're doing very well in 2005. 2006 and 2007. Just because they're doing well now doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be doing well in 2022 and 2023. But the people who will do well are the individuals that understand this dynamic. They can see right through it, and they set up their portfolio in a way that is prudent, not in a way that is just chasing the last fad just because they've been forced to go further out the risk curve by the Fed and the central planners. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Remember, always stand up and fight for freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism.